last but not least, you got to live the vision, because you are the vision of the organization, and how you act and how you talk when you don't even think people are looking. It's just like parenting.
Welcome to the Making the List podcast with Alyssa Dare Nelson. If you want to learn the secrets to build a successful, sustainable, fast-growing business, this is the podcast for you. Each week, you'll hear incredible stories and get actionable tips and advice from CEOs who've led their companies to the Inc. 5000. Do you want to join them in making the list? Then let's go. And now, here's Alyssa Dare Nelson.
Hey there, and welcome to episode 9 of the Making the List podcast. This interview was recorded pre-COVID, but the wisdom prevails through this crisis. I'm really grateful that you chose to tune in today and listen to this amazing entrepreneurial story. So let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. Our guest today is Daniel Mosha. Daniel is passionate about entrepreneurship and small business and equips leadership teams with the tools and technologies to grow their companies. As founder and CEO of the nationwide CPA IT service firm Tech Guru, Daniel and his team deliver CTO level strategy to accounting firms seeking innovative technology resources and guidance. With his company Strong in Six, Daniel is a certified EOS implementer, enabling leadership teams get what they want from their businesses with simple, practical tools. You're going to love this conversation. Let's dive in. Well, hey, Daniel, thank you so much for coming onto the Making the List podcast. I'm super excited for our conversation and to talk about your journey and everything that happened along the way. Okay, maybe not everything, but we're really excited to hear your story. So welcome to the show.
Oh, yeah, this is awesome. Been looking forward to this.
Yeah. So as we record right now, the 2019 Inc. 5000 list has just come out. And first and foremost, a giant congratulations to you and Tech Guru because you've made the list yet again. How do you feel right now knowing, I mean, you've known, right, for about a month, but you haven't been able to say anything.
They do like tell us that we made the list, but they tell us not to tell anybody else. Mm-hmm. So yes, it is kind of cool to have like the inside intel. Then it's like we have little secretive like high-fiving each other in the office, but we're like, don't tell anybody. Gosh. It's just our little thing. But yeah, no, it's really cool. I think it's our third year now, and it's a great institution. It helps build credibility for our company and our brand, and it helps us hire and attract great, you know, great talent to our company. So I'm really grateful that to be making the list for the third year.
Yeah. Now I'm curious, why did you first apply to the list? Was it for the credibility and for the talent attraction, or was it for some other reason?
I don't remember exactly. I know that I looked into it and we didn't qualify because of our size and scale. And then I remember it's just like hitting that threshold, and whether it's revenue or whatever it is, to be able to have a chance at winning it. And even then, I wasn't really sure. I was, you know, like, oh, I'm not sure how fast we're growing and how that stacks up. And it's really validating. I'd say validating to the hard work that we've been doing with sales and marketing and operations, just like to get an external kind of like validation that, yeah, you guys are doing something that's different and special. So that's really cool. It's also just like a seal that is kind of a trust builder on our website that we can use and associate ourselves with a great brand, the Inc. brand. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, the number of introduction, I wouldn't say introductions, but like the number of people that reach out to us, congratulate us, people that I really look up to have noticed it and noticed us and the work that we're doing it's really deeply meaningful.
Yeah, that's super cool. I do want to talk first and foremost because, and I don't have the exact stats, I'll get them, but with regards to people who make the list twice and three times, and there's, you know, very few that make it, you know, over 10 times because it's year over year over year over year growth. And, you know, as you know, a lot of companies get first on the list because of, you know, an investment, you know, cash infusion of some sort. And, you know, a few years back, there was actually a company who was number one on the list and they had like a 75,000% growth. Wow. And then you look them up and they're bankrupt, right? And it's because they just, they don't know how to manage that growth. Now, 75,000% growth is a little insane, and I'm not sure how many people could handle that kind of growth. But fast growing companies have a different set of challenges than companies that grow much, much slower. Can you talk to us a little bit about how you've managed to maintain that level of growth and now for a third year in a row have been able to make the list again?
And interestingly, this is the slowest as a percentage rate the company's grown over the years. Because as you know, as the revenue dollars like increase, it becomes harder and harder to achieve those higher percentage increases. So this is like, I mean, nothing like compared to, you know, to before when we were, reinventing the company every couple of years. And frankly, I mean, we're doing that again. We're reinventing the company with a focus on IT, being the IT department for CPA firms. And so in terms of sustainable growth strategies, I feel getting everybody on the same page and using the same language and using this and kind of sharing the same vision, writing it down and using Traction and EOS, that methodology, there's no way we'd be able to do that and accomplish the things that we have without getting everybody aligned on the same page and focused on the right priorities. Because before EOS, and what was completely unsustainable was when I would come back from a conference with all these great new ideas, and then I'd change the focus and the vision for the company completely, and I'd say, come on, everybody, let's go. Because, you know, as the adage goes, you know, when the leader turns his head and looks in a different, or her head and looks in a different direction, so does everybody else. And it's just, mm-hmm. I was a huge distraction. I was burning everybody out. So it wouldn't be without that discipline and accountability that we'd be able to get the traction that we have to have the continued kind of scaling up. And the other thing is too, like staying the same size, I also feel to some extent is unsustainable. Yeah. Because when you're not like evolving and leveling up as a company and a leadership team, I mean, you've heard this saying, grow or die. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's true. Growth solves so many problems. And so we run into struggles, we run into challenges every other company does. And we're, you know, facing 163 challenges every single day. Right. But it's like, hey, well, let's just grow our way out of this. Let's sell our way out of this. Let's keep doing more great work so that it makes this problem completely irrelevant. So those are a couple things that we're doing. And frankly, how I feel like it just has to continue to be like, I don't want to be part of a company that's not growing I'm not going to say hyper aggressive, but growing and looking to become the best. And I think part of that is helping more accounting firms with their technology. And there's so much need out there that it's just a way that needs to be. If we don't continue to grow, somebody else will, and then we're going to become irrelevant really quick.
Yeah, there's so many questions, so many follow-up questions I have from that. A couple things I want to point out is you mentioned reinventing and innovation. You didn't say innovation specifically, but it really is innovating. You have to iterate. What is the next best version of us? What is the next best version of us? And really continuing to press that. And that's where, you know, you talked about EOS, and I'm really excited to talk about how you've used EOS and your skill as an EOS implementer, not only in Tech Guru, but with some of your consulting clients as well. From what you're saying, I'm guessing you're the visionary. You're not the integrator. Am I right?
Oh, you got me.
Yes, I'm the visionary. Wasn't too hard to pick out there.
No, and what was hard is when I was stuck in that integrator role in my company, and that's what I was telling you about a little bit ago when I'd have all these great ideas and I was burning people out. And so I needed that person in my company. It was, thankfully, I had Micah, who, you know, just started out, we were just both, you know, fixing computers, running around town, like taking care of people, taking care of businesses and their technology. And then I'm just so grateful that we just happen to be the yin to my yang, and really it is complimentary and has the follow through and the little bit more detailed than I am. Not a lot more detailed, actually. Sometimes it'd be great if one of us
That's
was a little bit more detailed.
Additional staff helps.
Yes. And thank goodness, right? But there's no chance we would be where we are today if we didn't have this kind of dynamic duo balancing each other out, me kind of help, you know, pushing the envelope, pushing new ideas, like saying, hey, where are the edges, where are the borders? And then Mike is saying, hey, you know what, he's the one to follow through, and me trusting him to do that and knowing that if it's up to me, it's probably going to get like half implemented and then I'm going to be bored with it and lose focus, knowing that I have to trust him to follow through because he will execute and deliver on it.
So good. The profile that I use with all of my clients is the StrengthsFinder profile.
Right on.
And I think it's so, you know, you talked about Micah being the yin to your yang. And this is where something like the StrengthsFinder, and it doesn't have to be StrengthsFinder, as you're listening here, you don't, you know, there's lots of profiles out there. I prefer the StrengthsFinder for a lot of reasons that I'll get into on another show. But, you know, just something so that you can kind of explicitly say these are my strengths and these are my areas of non-strength. And we don't ignore weaknesses, but it's important to understand, you know, what are the things that I'm doing that just take me a lot of energy and maybe I just don't do super well that I could lean into somebody else's strengths to get done. But like total opposites doesn't always work either.
Right. Right.
So I hear a lot of activator in you. It's like, yes, let's get up, let's get moving in this, you know, futuristic and the visionary. Have you taken the StrengthsFinder?
Yeah, I have. I am futuristic. Can't remember the other ones. Learner. Learner's number one for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I love learning by doing and learning by teaching.
Yes, yes.
And it's like for me to learn something, if I know I need to teach it to somebody else or I'm going to be able to apply it right away, then it absolutely works and I love it.
Yeah.
And so I recently became a pilot and that was something really, really powerful for me. It's like, well, I'm going to be using this stuff as I'm like flying an airplane in the sky. Can you believe it? They let me do that. And so that's like what, like I have to be learning and evolving. And so so what's interesting about that is like Tech Guru then is almost designed to help me do and focus on my strengths. Because let me tell you, in school, I was told that I got so much trouble and got sent to the principal's office so many times for talking too much and not staying on task, like not sitting and focusing. And like, oh my gosh, can you believe it? I get paid now to talk people, facilitate conversations, and frankly, help them stay on task with the EOS stuff. Right.
Well, here's what I love too. And it's interesting because I have a lot of the strengths in my blind spot. So pretty low on my theme list that are the ones that create processes and have that focus and discipline. Consistency as a strength theme is number 34 of 34 for me. And yet this is a lot of what I teach. And the reason that you're often really perfect for teaching those things is that you've had to figure out how to lean into other strengths to get there, right?
Yep.
So sometimes the things that come so naturally for you are very difficult to actually teach because they come so naturally for
you. Right.
Yeah. And so I think
why can't you do this?
Giftedness in the non-gifts as well, right?
That's interesting.
So I love that about it. And you see this in entrepreneurs so much, right? Like a lot of entrepreneurs got into a lot of trouble when they were in school because they didn't fit that mold. And I think schools are getting a lot better. You know, I have two daughters, one who's entering seventh grade, one who's entering eighth grade. And the school they're at actually has an entrepreneurship class for the eighth graders. And I was like, yes, this is so exciting. If you need someone to come talk, I'll come talk. It's so great. You know, but it's just so wonderful to see them sort of individualizing education for kids, because that's really the shift that our education system has to take so that these people, these really amazing people, aren't squished. When did you realize that it was okay for you to be exactly how you were and who you were? Because, you know, getting in all kinds of trouble as a, you know, adolescent can kind of be tough on you. And you're like, I don't know, do I actually fit in? Am I a big screw up and do I need to fit in? Or how did you handle that?
I mean, I'm still working on that, to be honest. You know, I don't know. Aren't we all?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still like, I find myself like reverting to some of those old ways of thinking, like I'm not good enough, or, you know what, because I can't do the things that it seems like everybody else around me can do. Like I'm not good enough for this, not worthy. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, hey, that's not productive, you know?
Yeah.
So I think the big breakthrough was probably, you know, working with an entrepreneurial peer organization when I realized that I'm not alone. And that didn't happen until after like college. I went to the University of Minnesota, loved it. I went to class. I applied some of the things I learned like immediately. I'd be talking to my CPA right after my finance class and like talking about the things that I've learned. And it was really, really helpful. But if there's one thing, it was like, as an entrepreneur, I felt like a little bit of an outcast because everybody was like, hey, when are you going to go interview with Deloitte? And I was like, I have a company already. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking how, like, in my kids' school, like, it's the same problem. Like, it's cool to hear at the middle school level they have that, but the elementary school, my kids are in first, going to first and third, two boys, they don't have that. And I'm like, they have STEM day, and I can participate in STEM day. But you know what they don't have? They don't have Entrepreneur Day.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, like, reach out to them and talk about how they can bring in some entrepreneurs into the, because it's not just, you know, you finish school, you go, you know, go work for a, you know, for a company. Like, you can start a company. And I'm definitely trying to teach that to my boys. But I think that'd be so cool to have, like, an entrepreneurial day at school.
You should talk to your PTO or your PTA.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm involved with that, actually.
Yeah. And just say, hey, you know, this is something, a workshop, because I've thought about this with regards to strengths as well. There's a kids version of the Strengths Finder.
That's cool.
And I went in and I taught my kids' fifth grade teacher team about strengths. And I just said, I just so appreciate what you guys have done. I just want to come give. I just want to come provide this for you. And they had such an amazing time. And the teachers were in tears because they also haven't been affirmed
right.
in their own strengths and their own right. style of doing things. And, you know, it's so hard when, and this conversation is totally going down a rabbit hole, but I just think this is so important for our next generation and for our educational
yes.
system,
yes.
for teachers and students alike to be empowered
right.
and supported in that individualization.
I agree.
And to our teachers' credit, they just don't have the, when you're dealing with 30 students, there's only so
right.
much individualization you can do.
No.
But yeah. Totally. Man, Daniel, if you ever want to talk about and collaborate on getting into schools and just giving back to the school system, I would be all in. You and I could do that together. It'd be great.
I'll just share that Gino Wickman, who wrote Traction yeah. and kind of created EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System, is launching a book called Leap. And it's mm-hmm. all about taking the leap and deciding if entrepreneurship is right for you. It's kind of like the, what might it be like to be an entrepreneur? I think that's coming out in the fall, and that could be an interesting kind of template almost for how to share this with, it's really about creating the next generation of entrepreneurs. And it's kind of like know thyself and be true to yourself kind of a thing. So yeah.
Okay. All right. We're gonna get together for coffee on that. But now onto other things that we were actually are here to talk about. You talked about sustainability being possible when you're speaking the same language. So how have you created the same language for your entire team? As teams grow, it gets harder and harder to make sure that everything is that the vision is clear on all different levels. What have you found to be the most successful way to do that with your team?
Let me tell you, it starts at the top, without a doubt. And so getting on the same page with my leadership team about what we're going to call things, what we're going to call these processes, what we're going to call this, it's just using the same language between the three of us right now. We have a very small leadership team. And then being and committing to using that same language with the rest of the organization, whether it be one-on-one conversations or when we're doing whole company gatherings like our state of the company. And so it's so interesting because in my EOS practice, I was working with a client not that long ago. And in the leadership team, they use three different terminologies for the same process. And I was really even confused. And I mean, well, that's not the most uncommon thing. I was like, well, hold on a second. Are we talking? Is that the same? Is that? And turned out it was exactly the same thing. I said, okay, pause. What are we going to call this? That's the issue here. That's really the root issue. Anyhow, so whether it's what you name your processes or what you name the different aspects of your company, and then even titles, like I don't use titles internally. We teach the name, our use of function names, so that it just becomes plainly obvious and what really it is that somebody is doing for and in the organization, and getting crystal clear on who's responsible for what. And then I'm like, hey, look, titles are great. Use those externally. Like, sure, maybe your manager needs to approve it, but that's a marketing tool, right? That's my theory anyway. So those are just a couple of things that we do. And then we write it down. And we repeat it often.
Mm.
That's not that people don't recognize and realize that when it comes to marketing, people have to hear it seven times. Well, guess what? When it comes to your vision for your organization, people have to hear it seven times. And so Gino Wickman, I saw him speak in Atlanta in May at the EOS conference. And he told a story called the trash can test. And it's when for the first time, the leadership of this company stood up in front of the whole company and shared the whole vision and printed it out and gave it to everybody. And at the end of it, he was like, oh, that was so great. And then he looked in the trash cans on the way out the door. And 100% of the visions for the organization were in the trash. He said, okay, well, let's try it again. So the next quarter I did it again, and only 10% were taken, 90% were in the trash, and then again and again and again. So you got to repeat yourself often, because people don't, I don't know, if they don't believe it or buy in, or it's like, oh, this is just another flavor of the month. Right. If you don't tell the story and then give examples, and then frankly, last but not least, you got to live the vision, because yes, you are the vision of the organization, and how you act and how you talk when you don't even think people are looking. It's just like parenting.
Yeah. Yeah. So you mentioned the state of the company meeting. What is that? And how often are you having that state of the company meeting?
Yeah, great question. So we get everybody in the whole company together, and we try to tie it around something fun. So like, we're going to maybe go do something fun, like maybe axe throwing or mini golfing or escape rooming, whatever you call it. And so what it really is, though, the content is where we share where we've been, where we are, and where we're going with the whole company. And I have some fun with it, because where we've been, we talk about the successes and maybe the things that we didn't get done, or maybe even failures from the past quarter, aka learnings, right? Mm-hmm. And whether it's a growth quarter, learning quarter, we're vulnerable with the whole company, so they know where we've been. We're human too, and we're leading by example, though. So we're trying to do the best, you know, obviously trying to do the best we can. Where we are, I do the mailbag. And so I share some of the really cool feedback that we receive from our clients, and really do shout outs to people on our team who have been recognized by our clients. And then we do core value shout outs. So we talk, we have four core values: caring, accountable, responsive, and empathetic. And so we each all do shout outs to each other for really cool things that we do that align with our core values. And have some fun with it. It's like, I have to like put a time limit on it, because otherwise people just keep going. And then where we're headed.
I mean, that's an awesome problem to have when
totally
your value shares are like, okay, we gotta pipe it down.
Keep going.
That's right.
And then where we're headed, that's where we share any updates to the vision, what we're going to be focusing on as a leadership team for the next 90 days. And then they can get a sense of kind of where the company's headed, what our goals are, big picture. And then what's really cool is right after that, and within the next couple of days anyway, the departments get together and then make a plan for themselves for the next 90 days. And what are the things that they must be focused on to support the bigger picture of the company?
Very cool. And how does the communication from the bottom up come? Like, the leadership is so vital. And so when you're bringing updates to, you know, to the state of the company meeting, and you're like, this is where we're going next, is there also room for like feedback and like, oh, you know, is that really where we want to go? And that kind of thing. Not even so much, you know, detracting and questioning, but just room for input almost from the bottom up. That's how you work. I'm just wondering how you work that into the meeting.
It's a dialogue, and people have questions. We answer the questions live. The other ways that we get feedback is everybody in the whole company has got access to an issues list in their department, mm-hmm. and their leader can always bring items to the leadership team. It's great. We only have 15 people in our company, so that it's pretty, you know, communication is pretty easy. I've got something else. I'm doing a dreams program with each of my team members, so I can share a little bit about that with you, because then that's direct access to me, where they can share thoughts about the company with me. It's the dreams program is mostly about what them and their lives, but they've got direct access to me. And last but not least, we do an anonymous, it's by our payroll provider survey, and each month it's a different theme, but people are asked, you know, to what extent or how likely are you to recommend somebody come work at Tech Guru? And so that, and there's always comments that the people can fill in. So whether they are, you know, we try to create a situation where people are open, honest, and vulnerable and comfortable doing that. In some cases, that's not the case. And so, hey, we just went through a survey that we got for the month August. And, you know, so we got some feedback, right, on some things that we're doing. And we're going to be addressing that feedback with the team.
I love that. So as you're listening and you're thinking about how do I actually get engagement from my employees, et cetera, you have to open up several different lines of communication. I think that's a really important key to what you're saying. Because some people either communicate differently, or they have a different level of comfort, or they just need a different venue. So whether it's anonymous or right, I mean, it does take courage to...
For sure.
Bring a question or even opposition to the entire team. And so maybe, you know, the anonymous route works a little bit better for this person or that person, but you're sure to capture a whole lot when you open three or four different ways that they can give you that feedback. I think that's awesome. So you talked about the garbage can test, right? And then you also talked about, you know, are you living your values? And I think, you know, companies that maybe are moving to living their values from stating their values, that's a part of that transition, not just repeating, this is our mission, this is where we're going, but also the proof from the employees as to they're seeing you do what you do. So if you are getting 100% of the vision sheets, right, it landed in the garbage and you're wondering, I don't understand, I've been talking about this vision for 3 years, why isn't anybody buying in? It comes back to leadership. And are you leading in your values? I mean, this is something that you've been very cognizant about, Daniel, and I really appreciate that about how you've led your company. But the clients that you serve, sometimes they, you know, you might be coaching them through some of those things where they're not necessarily living out their values, but they're stating them. How do you help your clients? And I mean, this is not particularly your company, but your clients to be open to and aware of the incongruity.
It starts with values. They already exist in every organization, whether they've named them or not. Mm-hmm. It starts with discovering them and then being, like you said, being true to them. So we run the value as we're working to create the values or refine the values. Like I said, everybody's, you know, usually comes with something. We test them. And so we test them on the leadership team using a tool called the People Analyzer. Mm. And then so we go around and give each other feedback live. It's like a real-time performance evaluation. It's like very exciting. People get kind of nervous about it. I'm like, look, this is more a test of the values than it is an evaluation of you as a, you know, as a person. And core values, if they're right, then most of the leadership team has probably already got these values, right? Otherwise, they're aspirational. They're just not real. And you're going to get called out on these right away. I guarantee it. Right, as being disingenuous. So, yeah, for sure. I have we've eliminated or changed values several times when we put them to the test. And the other filter that we use for core values is that they're Pat Lencioni's values traps. Mm-hmm. And there's a great Harvard Business Review article about that. Are they aspirational? Are they accidental? Or are they, what is the last one there? Help me out. Permission to play. Permission mm-hmm. to play, right? Permission to play is like, hey, look, this is just an expectation in your firm's industry. Accidental means, oh, remember that one time we did that, but it's never happened since, right? And aspirational, boy, wouldn't it be nice if we, you know, could do things on time or whatever. And so all those things help us eliminate the noise and get to what really matters. And so again, that's the first part of the journey. And then the next part is really kind of rolling them out and doing all the things that I mentioned that we did at Tech Guru, but we didn't do all those things forever before right. We did it. It was, we had core values. I didn't even remember what they were. So how could you live by them? So if I was going to impress you with anything, is less is more. Look, humans can remember three things.
One, two, three, many. Yeah. Is how it goes.
Many. Right. Right. Like I try to get my clients down to three core values. I'm like, oh boy, can't we have five or seven? I'm like, okay, you got to remember all of them and make sure that you're like,
you have to have a cool acronym if you're going to do that many.
Yeah. Otherwise it's impossible.
Yeah.
Tech Guru has four. Some of my clients got them down to three. And it's like at the end of the day, like it's really how you teach and like live the values. And so we use this thing called the core values speech. And it sounds like so fancy, but it's really not. It's just an outline with more detail and stories and examples and counterexamples and history of these core values that you use to teach them to your people. Because let's be honest, like one, two, three words that are a core value can't convey the depth and nuance of meaning that goes into these values that are describing. That's something, you know, so kind of like a feeling much more than something, you know, logical. Yeah. Anyway, so they got to paint, you know, give it some color and like be able to really teach with emotion these core values to their people. So that's another tool that we use. And that's the speech we use during the hiring process. We use every single quarter at the state of the company. And anytime we need to talk about, you know, core values, we reference the speech.
Yeah. How often are you sitting down to, I know that they're always being brought up and I get the sense that it's always a work in progress, but how often do you sit down with your company or with your leadership and actually go, are these our core values and completely reevaluate them? Or do you just kind of roll with it and continually update?
Every single quarter. I'm asking my clients and my leadership team every single quarter that we get together, when we go through the VTO, and I ask them that exact question. Are these still our values? Do we have all the right people that are living these values? Mm-hmm. Do we have any people issues right now? Are there any of these values that don't make sense? Are we using it during the hiring process? And frankly, are we looking at our clients and considering our clients for core values alignment? Yes. How about our vendors, people that we're working with and surrounding ourselves with, right? Part of living your ideal life is surrounding yourself with people who you really like want to be spending your time with. And that by definition is that they share your values. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we put them to the test every single quarter. We're hiring. I ask my team and all the teams that I work with, are we hiring, firing, reviewing, rewarding, and recognizing around each and every one of these core values? Are you using the speech?
Yeah.
So every single quarter we're asking ourselves, are these the right core values and are we living them?
I love that. And you know, one of the questions I often ask my clients is, are you willing to fire people based on these values? Because that's the hardest thing to do, is
for
fire
sure.
people. Are you willing, are these so much a part of who you are that you're willing to fire people based on them? And oftentimes they're like, maybe we need to relook at these, right? They have to be so important to you that you're willing to make hard decisions based on those values. Yeah.
Sure.
So, you know, you already mentioned that the mistakes or the failures are really just opportunities to learn. And I fully believe that as well. I never lose, I only win or I learn. And that's the same with our teams as well. And so we value even our failures, but we've learned through those. That being said, it would be nice to have not made some of those mistakes or errors.
No doubt.
So can you maybe share one or two examples of some learnings that you would have loved to have had a shortcut on if you were talking to yourself, let's say, you know, 5 or 10 years ago?
All right. So all the personal mistakes I've made in my life, notwithstanding, it's so hard. I'll just say, like, when we decided to commit to specialization as a company, so 15 years ago, we founded the company. I was driving around in my Honda Accord fixing people's computers, and we had a computer. Man, I was the guy for you. I could fix that thing up. And then we evolved and evolved and evolved to the point where we were working as IT managed service providers, so the IT department for 60, 70, 80 different companies, and it was going really, really well. But we found there's some downward price pressure. We found it was harder to differentiate ourselves. So we said, we need to specialize. And so we went through and hired a consultant who helps companies do this, and we paid them a lot of money, and we decided on dentistry. Dentistry was the way to go. Yeah, it was going to be awesome. Man, they were like medical, high tech. They have expensive software and fancy gadgets. Like, yes. And so we spent a lot of money. We made a new website. We made a new brand, got a domain name, registered trademarks. We went to conferences. And it turned out that it wasn't quite what we thought it was going to be, because dentists just don't like value the kind of technology services that we provide, right? And so ultimately, they're not super even dependent on their technology. Like, they can even still bill even if their technology is down for a day or two. It's not like absolutely essential to their practices. So that was a hard and expensive lesson to learn. I would love to have just picked CPA firms initially, but I got to tell you, like, when we went and did our due diligence on the accounting industry, and the way that we approached it was much more scrappy and like startup mindset. And I got to tell you, I think we did a better job because we went through the pain and anguish of like having to fail forward, fail fast, and then make a change. And again, I'm ultimately, you know, glad that it happened. I think the only other like, and I can, again, I have plenty more to, you know, to share, but like the people, like, I feel bad about some of the people that I had joined our team, and then we fired them, and they were, you know, they were surprised. So for all those people out there, I want to say, I'm sorry that happened. We've learned a better way. And along the way, it comes down to core values. So as much as Micah and I are the yin to each other's yang, if there's anything that we have in common with each other, it's our values, which is so bizarre because right. We grew up in such different circumstances and different ends of the country and different types of families. Yet, my goodness, do we have the same core values? It's uncanny and it's bizarre. But, you know, when it comes down to like having made some people moves and having done a better job explaining our core values and expectations and communicating more effectively, because core values are just a set of simple rules and they're a set of expectations. And so, you know, we've got to the point where we are today we got to the point now where people don't quit, or people don't have, we don't have to fire anybody because they realize if we did make a mishire or some people's situation change, it's just that they can no longer meet our expectations. And they know that there's, you know, because we're such a transparent and accountable organization, they just won't be able to they just won't enjoy being around knowing that they're letting their team down or whatever, or that their core values misalignment if they snuck through. But yeah, so I think that is one of the things I just feel so sad about that. And is that we could have done just, we do such a better job. I wish I would have figured some of these things out earlier around how to find and keep, and then having what we do now called meaningful transitions. Like, so even when somebody starts working with us, we're talking about like, hey, what it might look like at the end of their engage, you know, end of working with us. Like, we start that conversation. So we just make it so much less scary. It's like, yeah, at some point you might want to go in a different direction and we might need to go in a different direction. So it's like, we evolved and leveled up so much with how we work with our people. And frankly, it's helped us like made it like, lots and lots of people are interested in working for our company. So we're really excited to continue to scale and grow, because that's just yet another way that I feel we can make a dent in the universe is by creating a great place where people can thrive and grow. And I referenced that Dreams program a little bit ago, really not very common thing that people are doing, companies are doing. And so, yeah, if there's anything I wish I could have like learned and applied much sooner, it would be our people, the way that we work with our people.
Yeah, it's when I talk to my team about, you know, when I'm bringing them on, and fortunately I haven't, not recently had to let go anyone go, but it's all about what is the higher good? What is the highest good?
Because right.
The highest good could be that because they have outgrown us, that it's time for them to move on. And that's, hey, let's have that conversation. We'll help with that transition.
That's right. That's right.
And conversely, like, you know, this isn't serving the highest good with our mission, et cetera. And so it allows it to sort of take the focus off the individual and put it sort of up here where it's bigger than any of us. And it makes that conversation easier. And so we do the same thing. We talk about the exit strategy when we bring them on.
That's awesome.
Because it, everybody, you know, chances are no one's going to die at your company. Let's hope not, right?
Right.
So at some point they're going to move on, and whether that's in 6 months, hopefully not, or 6 years or 10 years or 20 years, whatever it happens to be, let's talk about how that growth might look like for them. Now, I'm curious. So the book, The Dream Manager, which we'll definitely put in the show notes, is that where you learned about your dream program, or where did you come up with your dream program?
No, that's it.
I love that book so much.
Yeah. We're implementing it with just a couple of people initially getting feedback. But then I did, like in the book, they don't really talk about a tool or anything that they use necessarily. So I'm using and I'm like, well, I wonder what tool I could use for this. Well, we love EOS. And so EOS, there's a personal plan. It's like a vision traction organizer or VTO. Anyway, so I spend a couple sessions and I go through and help the people that I'm working with individually build out their personal plan. And then I'm meeting with them quarterly and as needed to help them follow up and follow through. So really helping them make their dreams come true.
Yeah. I'm super excited to be able to add a dream manager to our team. Not in the first set of hires, but we have people with, you know, the strength team of developer who just love to see people, you know, thrive and get to that next level. And so it's like, well, you know, you can be, we all kind of act as dream managers for one another.
For sure.
And it's super, super fun. But yeah, I love that book. So we'll definitely put that book in the show notes page there, as well as Leap, which is Gino Wickman's new book. We'll obviously put Traction into the show notes as well, because I think that's an important resource. And Dan, we'll put your contact information with regards to you being an EOS implementer. You know, we talked a little bit off stage there before we hit record about just how collaborative, you know, our businesses are. And it's really exciting to see people out there who are doing such amazing work, helping businesses get to that next level. And, you know, we live in this world where there's so much competition, and the question is why? Because It's not about slicing up that pie. It's about expanding it. And, you know, I'm excited to collaborate with you too, because we bring such different skills to the table. So I want people to, you know, have your contact for, if they want to get in contact with you about being, you know, having you be their EOS implementer as well. Because that's really amazing work that you do. Traction is a fantastic book. And if you put these things into action, ladies and gents, and you have accountability and you're keeping up with your rocks and you're reevaluating, these are the things that move the needle. Measure, you know, the what you measure grows, period, end of story. So, you know, back to the mental aspect of these things, like if you're constantly beating yourself up because you made this mistake or that mistake and you're focused on that, guess what? Those things will grow. And if instead you're focused on how might this look? What is the next step? And you're measuring the good things, those things will grow too. I love the work that you're doing, Dan, and not only with Tech Guru, but with your implementer consultancy business as well. Is there any last tips that you'd like to leave our entrepreneur listeners with?
I think it's an abundance mindset. I love that you closed with that. And it's like, I don't believe in competition. I believe in co-opetition. Yes. And partnership, and how can we help each other grow and raise all boats and further the mission of entrepreneurship in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm doing everything that I possibly can, you know, within my strengths to help make that happen. One leadership team at a time. I feel like I get to impact the lives of all of their employees and then all of their vendors and contractors and then all of their clients. So I feel like, gosh, if I can continue to do the work that we're doing and using, you know, leveraging my experience with Tech Guru. And that's one thing I love about it is I get to kind of stay involved with Tech Guru and then, you know, make mistakes and learn lessons and then share those with stories with my EOS clients as well. So I think, yeah, just maintaining the abundance mindset and how can we make the world and Minnesota a better place? You just can't go wrong.
Yeah. Now, where best, you will put all your links in the show notes, but where best can people connect with you? Is it on social media? Is it on your website? Where would you like them to find you?
Yeah, check me out. I have a website, strongin6.com, and that's got links to LinkedIn and Facebook and all that good stuff.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing your journey with us and just how you've been able to not only have a big accomplishment, but maintain that accomplishment over time. That really is the key, is that sustainability. So lots of good nuggets. I can't wait to listen back to this again and pull some of those out even for my own business and for my clients. So thanks for that. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, this is super inspiring and I'm excited to get back and go, especially with fall here, get some more entrepreneurial energy going at my kids' school. So thank you for having me and for doing this exciting work.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Making the List with Alyssa Dare Nelson. If you're loving the podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and review. Until the next episode, aim high and play to your strengths.